Thunder Media.
S5000 is attracting a lot of new drivers and new sponsors to the sport. We find out about one of those competitors today on Inside Motorsport.
Welcome back to Inside Motorsport. Tony Whitlock. I'm here with Mark Rosser at the Winton 5000 meeting. Mark's an Adelaide lad, so to speak.
Correct. You still call me a lad.
South Australian. And you have an interesting sponsor on your car, but things have changed in the way that that sponsor is no longer involved in the way it was.
Yeah, a little bit. So I had a board game distribution company with a business partner, and all the logos on the game on the car are some of the games we've been distributing. So we'd put them on there just to create a bit of awareness around them and kind of pick the ones that kind of look cool or have a catchy name as well, just to make the car look nice.
Okay.
But we sold that business at the end of last year. So, yeah, I guess still running the business though, and we're still kind of emotionally invested in it.
These are not digital games, these are board games.
Correct, yeah, so there's a big market for board games now. A lot of people are getting into it. COVID saw a huge spike of it. Everyone was stuck at home, and so we found a lot of people were thinking, let's get some board games. Yes. We're finding adults are really getting into them, especially people like to socialise with their friends or come around for a few drinks and nibbles and tend to play some board games while they're doing that sort of social activities with them as well.
So, right, okay. Yeah. Now, you've got an interesting background in racing. It started quite some time ago.
Correct, yep. So 2002, I did HQs in the SA, just the state rounds.
And HQs are pretty strong in South Australia.
Yeah, I think there was about 12 or 15 cars on the grid.
Right, okay.
Back then. It was pretty cool. I mean, I wanted to go go-karting when I was a kid, but unfortunately was given the opportunity to have a go-kart. And then I remember seeing HQs on TV, thought that looked cool and maybe affordable. And just going through the trading post one day, I saw a car for sale. I think it was like $2,000 or $3,000. So I thought, I can afford that. Let's get a race car and go racing.
Yep.
So I did that. And then I found out that the saloon cars were supports for the Clipsal 500 the following year in 2003. So I thought, oh, that'd be really cool to race on the Adelaide circuit, which is kind of like my passion is probably more Formula One and seeing the Adelaide races and that. So I went out and bought an old EA Falcon, and me and my mate stripped it all apart and put it back together and put all the control bits in it. And went saloon car racing in 2003. Probably spent a lot more money than what I realised. Motor racing was even expensive back then, so thought focus on business for a while. So I sold that and took over a business, and 20 years later, finally got back into it.
Okay, and from there you then came along and got into GT3.
Correct, yeah, so always liked cars, so just browsing through the classifieds on Y105, just seeing what cars were around and just admiring them, I guess, and there was one particular car, which was an Audi R8 GT3, which the Candyman used to race. Noticed it was for sale for probably 6 months even, it was online. Thought, oh, let's see if we can get a good deal here. So made a pretty lowball offer on it, and I got the car and all the bits, and thought I'd have a track car, and quickly became, let's do some state race meetings, and did a few of them, and then I entered the GT World Challenge for the Bend, and had a good round there, and kind of got really into the racing from that.
Okay. You had an unfortunate accident which resulted in that car no longer being competitive, so
yeah. So that particular car, I never had a single crash in it, but I was kind of hooked in there. So that was the original spec R8, and so I found a current spec R8 really cheap overseas in Germany available, so I bought that car. I sold the older car.
Yes.
And not long after that, unfortunately, we had a bit of an unfortunate incident at the bend just coming around the last corner. It was a bit damp overnight, but it was dry in the morning when we came out, but the painted exit curb was still a little bit damp on the last corner, and as soon as I touched that, we got a wheel spin, sent me infield. The grass was still damp, so in these cars you tend to slide for a very, very long time, and made a concrete wall which most people don't even know is in there, and hit it pretty hard, and it's damaged the engine, the gearbox and the chassis. Cars are right off, unfortunately.
Okay, so now go looking for a new category.
Well, that was it, and I'd been hanging around the BRM and running the GT car. I went to the S5000 Tasman rounds at Sydney Motorsport Park last year because I was kind of stuck over there due to the COVID lockouts. So I always liked open wheelers. I did do a test day January 22, just thinking I'd really like to do the Melbourne F1. Another bucket list thing to be able to drive on that track. Cars were quite difficult to drive and I didn't really feel I was ready for it, so I passed up thinking, oh, that's all right, there's always next year. But yeah, unfortunately next year it didn't happen, and they've got F2 and F3 out there now. But yeah, once the Audi was Cactus, just thought, well, let's do S5000. The like value wise it was a lot less money than the Audi and the GT3s, and yeah, just I guess a satisfying car to drive as well.
Okay. And BRM being a town, a team that's based in the same town you are, then yep, that fitted with what you wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. And well, so the Mark who runs BRM now, his father, well, actually Mark's brother, I went to university with him back so we both did mechanical engineering. I knew him from back then. I was always jealous because he was getting to hop into F3 cars and race around Adelaide and that. And I actually went to the test at Malalaa when Carl Reinler did his first ever test with BRM as yep. well. So yeah, I was out there for that, watching that. So I'd always known of BRM. I got the Audi and thought that I'll just get, you know, someone to help me run it, but it was quickly apparent how involved it was. So just got on to Mark and asked, you know, what the deal was, if he runs a car, and it all made sense. So yeah, it's ever since then I've just stuck with BRM.
So this is your fifth race meeting in S5000?
Yes, it is, yeah. Yep.
And you're feeling far more comfortable now?
Yes, definitely. The first race in the Gold Coast, I went out there and I was seeing all these concrete walls, and we actually had our ride height too low as well, but I didn't really know what to expect, and the car was banging on the ground all the time, and I'm thinking, holy shit, what am I in for here? What have I done to myself? But yeah, just more and more practice and testing. Been doing quite a bit of testing, and now I'm feeling pretty comfortable with the car, and I'm probably like generally maybe around about 2 seconds off the guys at the front, so getting closer to them, which is nice. So obviously my goal would be to start mixing it in with some of those other guys, and yeah, each round I've kind of got closer and closer to them, so still improving.
They're a big beast of a car too. They're not they're not something easy to drive, are they?
No, that's right. You obviously got no driver aids. Like, it's really easy to lock up the tyres. The front tyres don't give you much feeling. They've got a really small sidewall and very hard compounds. They take a while to come up to temperature as well, and they can be really, really slippery when they're still a bit cold. If you get out on the throttle too quickly, the back end will come out on you. You've got to make sure you unwind the steering lock, and they don't have a lot of aero, they move around a lot. So yeah, but they're tricky, but then I guess it also makes it satisfying as well when you can start to feel that you've got a handle on it.
The beauty of course is that you just came away from Phillip Island.
Yep.
Which, you know, I mean, that's a terrific track to drive on.
Yeah. No, that was really good, and the qualifying and that, I kind of got pretty close in some of the sets. Actually, practice I got very close. Qualifying didn't come to me as I would have hoped, unfortunately. Just the track, we woke up in the morning thinking the track was going to be amazing, it was going to be fast, and the weather was perfect. I went out there and it was really greasy and slippery, and I probably didn't adjust my mindset to the track conditions. But it was pretty obvious why after the Trans Ams were up right before us, and whatever goes on after them always struggles a lot more with the grip. Their tyre just doesn't, makes it very, very slippery. Even though we were on Hoosiers as well, we thought maybe it might be compatible. Yeah, definitely wasn't. So that messed up that qualifying session for us.
Okay, now you've just completed another qualifying session.
Yeah, it's probably got worse actually this time. So like, I did a test day here and we were looking pretty good. I was probably about 2 seconds off Joey's time, which I was reasonably happy with, and it's getting more comfortable than that. The weather just this morning was really, I think it was probably 4 or 5 degrees this morning. So we went out and on green tyres, as everyone did, and it took a long time to get temperature into the tyres. I probably pushed a little bit too hard, a little bit too soon, and lost the rear end on the exit just getting on the power. Found myself, I think I was at the start of the exit of the old pit lane or something, trying to turn the car around. Stuck in there, no one wanted to give me a push to make, I couldn't get reverse. So I lost about 3 minutes off track doing a bit of an Austin Powers manoeuvre to get back on. So by the time I come back on, my tyres were cold again, so I had to like slowly build up, but I didn't get to get the tyre temp back, and we got the red flag because Aaron Cameron went off as well and put into the fence, so that was the end of that session. So I only got 6 laps out there, and made it a bit tricky, unfortunately. And I think it was pretty clear that everyone struggled with that tyre temp. I mean, Aaron Cameron's obviously a very good driver. I think saw a few other guys off track for a little bit as well, so yeah.
all part of your learning curve.
All part of learning curve. I don't know. You keep thinking, I finally got it. I'm never going to make another mistake again, and then it happens again. But yeah, anyway,
it's all character building. You thought you had enough character on board, didn't you?
That's right. That's right. So anyway, that's
all right. Well, thanks very much, Mark Rosser, for giving us your story on Inside Motorsport, and we'll come back later in the year. I'm sure you've got at least one more I know of meeting at Sydney Motorsport Park.
Correct. Yep, we're there. Now I'm looking forward to the Bend. That's obviously my home track, and I've done more laps than anywhere. So that's probably the round where I really need to be mixing it with the rest of them.
All right,
I mean, the quality of the field's pretty amazing. The guys at the front, James Golding, Joey Mawson, like, James is already in the top 10 in supercars. Joey will be there when he gets his chance. Aaron Cameron wins most things he's in as well. So, yeah, it's a pretty strong field to be in.
Well, thanks again, Mark Rosser, for talking, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks a lot for the interview.
That's all we have time for on this episode of Inside Motorsport. Until next time round, keep smiling and bye for now.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media for the Community Radio Network.